Hello, and welcome to another time together with the Every Woman's Story with Stonecroft podcast, where we believe that everyone has an invitation to sit at Jesus' table. And we come together to discover our stories as we look at God's story, the Bible. And today we have someone who I have known by email for years, and I'm thrilled to actually meet in person, Dr. Quantrilla Ard. Welcome.
Thank you. Hello, hello.
Hello. And I have the privilege of reading from the middle of the every, ooh, very funny background there, Every Woman's Bible, a little bit about Quantrilla's bio. And she is a contributor of the more than 100 different scholars and writers who contributed to this Bible. I want you to learn a little bit about her before Lisa and I introduce ourselves again. So, Quantrilla Ard, PhD, is a faith-based personal and spiritual development author, a speaker, Bible teacher, and former literary agent who believes in the power of collective strength, community, and fellowship. Oh man, those are good things. I'm excited for this time together. Wow. And we've gotten permission. Dr. Ard says we can call her by her nickname, Quani. So we'll be doing that today. So we're excited to get to know you. Alisa, would you like to just, for people who are joining us for the first time, just tell people who you are?
Oh, welcome. We're so glad you could join us. My name is Alisa Cortez Bast, and I have the privilege of serving as the Vice President of Outreach with Stonecroft Ministries alongside of Naomi. And we are so grateful that you joined us today.
Thank you.
And I'm Naomi Kramer Overton, and I get to serve as the general editor of Tyndale's Every Woman's Bible, and has I have been the CEO of Stonecroft Ministries and formerly of MOPS, Mothers of Preschoolers International. So, but we're here to talk to you, Kwani. What I love to start with, because I love to hear the stories behind people like you who are, you got all these degrees behind your name. I only read one of your degrees. You've got like at least two more. And you have a esteemed position in academia and this and that and the other. But we really want to know the person behind all that and how God has worked with that person and through the Bible. So we would love to hear kind of your quintessential, what we call spark story, something that shows Kwani sparking in to who she really is. So what is that?
Oh, this is going to be a fun one. So, interestingly enough, I selected a spark story that actually happened recently because it was almost like a re-welcoming back home to myself. I love to share products and things online that I use and just, as I go through my wellness journey. And one of these was a supplement that I take. And I got this. Well, random, if you would say random email from the company saying, hey, we're going to shoot a commercial and we would like our customers to be in the commercial. And I was so excited because I'm thinking, well, absolutely, I would love to do this. And just on a whim, I sent in my submission. And within like a month's time, I had spoken to all these producers and the company itself, and they were like, we love your story. We love you. Please come to LA and shoot this commercial with us. And I was completely shocked because, sometimes we can get, we can believe that we're either too much or we're not enough. And we don't really live in our fullness of who we are. And this opportunity was just a reminder that I am enough. I'm okay just as I am. And to really show up as my true, authentic self at all times. So I don't know if you all have seen me on the commercial on the television, but I am there in the little box. So that's just, a reminder of God's goodness to me. In creating me and who I am, and just to honor him and be that gift by being who I am.
That's so fun. And I am going to be watching for you now. Here we don't meet for years and years. We're just emailing. Now I get to meet you. Next thing I know, I'll be like, oh, she's on a billboard. That will be super, super fun to see that or on the television. When you think about this Bible and you think about God's word that kind of intersects with that story, what intersects for you with that?
Well, to know that I am created to be here in this time for a specific purpose and not to hide or diminish what God has poured into me. And so, really, one of the texts that just kind of shine forth for me in this story is from Proverbs 18:16. And this reads that a man's gifts make room for him and brings him before the great. And, we could, break that down in all the nuances, but I really felt that in that moment that the gift of who I am and who God created me to be really did bring me in this room, right? And this awesome opportunity that I probably could have never procured for myself, just showing up as who I was, that gift opened that door. So hopefully that's an encouragement for anyone who is listening. Just be you. You are the gift. You are the gift.
You know, what I love about that is that I think there's things that we always feel like we're excited about, but you know, we don't know if we'll ever get to talk about it, you know, and there's like a space of just like, I'm just gonna put this out there and then boom. Can I ask then in that, you know, it's so interesting that when a door opens for you to be able to share something that you love and you are excited about and you want to be a part of, can you just unpack for the people who might be listening, what made you say yes to the opportunity?
I thought about the fact that there are no repeats. There are no do-overs. As much as we would love them, we don't have them. And, I thought to myself, if I don't say yes, there's no promise that this thing will come around again. And why not, right? Why not just see what happens? The worst thing they could say is, no, thank you, maybe next time. But, it was an invitation for me to lean into this opportunity. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna go for it. And I think that a lot of times we are hesitant because, we may not feel again, like I said, like we're worthy or, we're just this person of influence. I was like, I'm a regular customer, right? Just I would never have interacted with this company. I mean, I would post reviews. Oh, I love this product, or I love this product. But when this opportunity came, I was like, they see me, right? Not just I'm purchasing a product, but they want me, who I am, to, represent their company. So please, y'all, if you have an opportunity, if something like this, it may not even be this big, but something even maybe on a smaller scale that validates who you are and who God creates you to be, definitely say yes. Definitely say yes.
Had like written down and circled, say yes, say
Say
yes.
yes. Say yes.
So Kwame, we love to ask for our listeners and our viewers, for us to lean in a little bit more and understand who you are. If you are having your best day, like this, I am feeling it, I'm firing in all cylinders. Like, what is happening? What are you doing? Who are you with? What are you wearing? Your best day ever. What's happening?
Oh man, I love that question. Best day ever. I am somewhere on a beach in front of the ocean. I'm wearing like a flowy, nice big flowy dress because, who wants to be restricted at the beach? I am digging my toes into the sand. You know how you like wriggle your little toes in the sand? And I think I'm there. Maybe either with my bestie or my kiddos, or maybe even both, right? We're there with everybody we love. And we are experiencing freedom, right? We are, to me, nature is one of the ways that I commune with God, which is why I'm, nestling my toes down in the dirt. I like to feel connected to the ground. It gives me a sense of being connected to the Creator. So I think, yeah, that's what I'm wearing. That's what I'm doing. That's who I'm with. Yeah, best day at the beach. Absolutely.
So what amuses me is, first of all, as I was listening, I was thinking about my little toes in the sand and I was there. And then I realized, this very night, like in about 3 hours before the sun goes down, I'm going to be with one of my besties and both of our kids, and we're going to be at the
Best day ever.
Exactly. I'm like, I'm going to have to go. I am living Kwani's best day ever right now. And she'll be like, who's Kwani? And I'm like, you need to know.
Love it. Think of me because it's cold and raining here. So think of me.
Okay, well, it is sunny here, so that is good. Wow, that does sound like a wonderful, wonderful day. And you were talking about, connecting with God and into God's creation as part of kind of what roots you and helps you know the fullness of who you are. I was very taken by your article that is on everywomansstory.com, everywomans-story.com, lots of dashes and dots in there. And as I was looking at your article, which was about Esther, I was struck by something that you just said so clearly, and it was something I hadn't really thought a lot about before, but it reminded me of you and your best day at the beach, because what you said was that influence for Esther wasn't about her position. It wasn't about her job title, so to speak. I mean, she was queen, but Vashti had been queen. And, Vashti didn't end up with a lot of influence, and certainly not on behalf of, God's chosen people, the Jews. And it wasn't necessarily even about her relatedness. She did have a relation in her cousin Mordecai, who had protected her and taken her in after she'd been orphaned. And so sometimes we think it's our title, or it's the people in my life, or my access to those people that make me safe or influential, that I can use my gift. But you said, no, it actually goes back further. It goes back to who she actually was, who God had formed her and connected with her in being before any of this stuff became visible. And there was a particular quote that really struck me. So I love this. And I want to invite all of the people who are viewing or listening to think about this for ourselves. Esther would be influential whether she was in the palace or not. It is my hope that you hold this as true for yourself as well. Wow. Okay. I want to know. You don't only bring that up for Esther, which is very insightful because you cite the favor that she had. You talk about how you learn this because this is how God has worked in you. Can you tell us the behind the scenes stories that let you know that Kwani would be influential, whether she was in the commercial or not, or in the teaching and academic position or not, or in the online reach that you have or not. How did that happen that you could come to that conviction?
Oh man. Woo. Well, I will give you a story because I'm a storyteller at heart. I was raised by a mother who had a strong faith. And I knew that as long as she was in my life, I would develop a strong faith as she did. What I was not aware of growing up was that she had a terminal illness. And the older I became, the more that started to kind of come to the front of our experiences. And so, unfortunately, I lost my mother maybe a month after I graduated from college. And I asked myself, what am I going to do? How am I going to navigate life without her? And I was almost kind of tethered to God through her. And so there was a lot of time that I had to intentionally spend finding out who God was for myself. And she had set me up for success, right? She poured her faith into me. She covered me in prayer. And so I had a good foundation, but sometimes grief and pain and loss can completely rock that foundation. And that's where I found myself. And so, as I began to kind of peel back those layers and ask God, who was I without her? He began to show me, bit by bit, moment by moment. And those times that I spent wrestling with God, the times that I spent in the tension of believing that God was good, but navigating this very painful experience, really showed me who he was. And it showed me who I was in him. And while the journey has not completely come full circle, you know, I don't know if we ever heal from grief, but the things he deposited in me all those years ago it was kind of like a springboard that propelled me forward to offer those strategies and coping, the things that God taught me in those hard, dark seasons. Those are the things, those are the tools that I've now been called to give to other people. And I would never have imagined that I'd be encouraging people online, walking with people through their grief. Never would I have imagined it. Because it doesn't really seem like a glorious, glamorous, you know, I was like, Lord, if you're going to give me influence, can you give me influence somewhere else? But this is where I feel most alive, where I feel most connected to God. And it's through this odd pain experience, right? But I developed this connection. I developed this a surety in God long before he asked me to show up online and do this intentionally, because I kept saying, no, 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 don't want to be the grief girl that shows up. But the issue here is, if I didn't, who would? The unique experiences, the unique journey I went on with the Lord was specifically for me to show up in this place, at this place, at this time. So that's essentially how that happened.
Okay, we got to go deeper here. First of all, so many parallels to Esther's story. She didn't, you know, she's like, you know, I'm not the person to do this.
Get somebody else.
Get somebody else. King hasn't called for me for 30 days. And furthermore, you know, he doesn't know I'm a Jew, and, you know, all those. And getting to that point of, you know, if you don't do this, you know, God will still do something good, but it won't be what you had the opportunity to be part of. And that if I perish, I perish, which are some of the more disturbing words in the Bible. I mean, if we're honest, I don't love going through the front door of if I perish, I perish into any calling that God has for me. But it sounds like there was that moment for you. And I think we may need to have you tell us more about exactly how you do care for people online, and what you maybe had to die to a little bit in yourself to go into this.
Yeah, well, you know, I can say this. One of the hardest things to do when you are walking through a grief story or a grief journey with someone else is be vulnerable about your own grief story. There is a level of emotional labor and sometimes a re-traumatization that comes with that, right? And so at some point I had to decide, I had to choose my heart. Is it hard to walk through grief alone? Or it's going to be hard either way? Or is it going to be hard to help others by also exposing myself? And when I realized that the different losses and griefs that I've had to navigate, God had already equipped me to do that for other people, it was difficult to say yes, because it's hard to sometimes be vulnerable. But then again, if I didn't do it, who would? And here's the thing. One thing I love about the Lord is that he will bring something around again and again and again. He will give you the opportunity, right, to choose the best path. And so for me, it was really a decision between, am I going to sit in the discomfort of knowing that I have something life-changing to help people through their grief? Or am I just gonna, just kind of sit with it and just say, oh no, let's, call the others, let someone else do it. That was a decision that I had to make. And the relief that came when I finally was like, okay, Lord, if you can use anything or anyone, you can use me. So, yeah.
Earlier, when we first were introducing you, you talked about the idea of like collective strength. And so you had chosen to be in community, both digitally and in person, with people who are walking in that journey. Can you tell us a little bit more? Even you said in a path maybe we wouldn't have chosen. What is the value of collective strength? Like, what does that really mean when you say that?
I believe that God is a very relational God, and that part of his character in us is that we are relational with each other, and that there is a solidarity and a strength that comes from being in relationships with other people. And I found this to be very true in this space as well. One of the ploys of the enemy is to keep us isolated, is to have us to believe that we are alone, that we have no advocate, right? And so one of the other hats that I wear is an advocate for maternal and infant health. And when we have an advocate, even if we are unable to verbalize our needs, we have an advocate who can, right? And so community provides us a layer of protection, an additional level of advocacy, right? And so while people are navigating their grief journeys, this is one of the things that they need. They need community. They need someone to advocate for them, especially when we are going through shifts. As we grow and as we learn alongside of our grief, sometimes we are in so much pain that we can't even pray. We just don't have the words. The depth of our loss is so vast that we can't even pray for ourselves. But when you have community, you have advocates, you have folks who will cover you when you cannot cover yourself. And then, of course, our high priest, Jesus, is our advocate. And a lot of times that looks like his people showing up for us in community.
I have to tell you, one of the things that makes me so excited when Naomi always unpacks Esther is she talks about, like, the maid servants that Esther first went to and said, "Fast with me, like pray with me."
That's
You know,
right.
and there's like the people of Susa that she are called into action after that. And that, we rightly elevate like the bravery of Esther, but there's so many players, and that's nameless people that
Right.
said, I will do this with you. And we do this together. And that's what I heard. Give me goosebumps. It's like, oh, that there's a part where it's like, we miss like the beauty of the community actually coming together in that story sometimes, and being like, she did not do this by herself.
Right.
It really took the village.
Absolutely.
Well, I do want to. I don't know if you'd mind just mentioning what it is that you do online, how you come alongside other people in their grief. And then there's something you said that touched into part of my story of some maternal infant situations. So, yeah.
Yeah. So the Lord asked me to create community, simply that, to create community. And one of the ways I do that is through a safe and kind of a close community, because we want to make sure that we protect people's stories. But anyone can join just as long as they are committed to keeping people's stories safe. It's called It's All Grief to Me, because one aspect is that grief shows up in so many ways, right? It's not just the physical loss of someone you love, but it could be the loss of a relationship. It could be the loss of dreams that never came true, right? And so we wanted to touch on all of those types of griefs that people experience. And then the other side of that was the phrase, it's all Greek to me, right? We use that phrase all the time when we're like, well, we don't understand that, or this is some foreign, you know. And so when I said yes, immediately the name came to me, it's all grief to me. Because a lot of times we treat grief the same way as this foreign object that we just, you know, it's above our understanding. But God has asked me to help others to reframe their grief from this foreign intruder to more of a companion, right? Because the companion is simply someone that takes a journey with us throughout of our lives. And we know that grief is going to continue with us, right? Until that day that it becomes no more. And so to help reframe grief as a companion and as a teacher, because we learn a lot while we're on our grief journeys. And so that's one way I serve folks, is to hold this space for them. And then also, very soon I will be offering coaching, individual and group coaching for folks who need someone literally to hold their hand, because a lot of times we can find ourselves stuck. And what shows up as maybe anger or anxiety or aloofness is actually grief, unresolved grief. And so those are the ways that I feel God has asked me to use what I've learned to help other people navigate their grief journey.
Just like the Proverbs verse, using the gift. It wasn't a gift you chose
Right.
to have lost your mom. I can just imagine what your friends were trying to process as they came alongside you after college graduation, as happy, you know, everything's in front of you time of life, you know, Dr. Seuss, oh, the places you'll go, you know, kind of moment. And here you lost your mom. And then to go, well, you didn't think up the gift, God worked in with you. There is a gift here. And so in the Every Woman's Bible, in the some of the early pages, I talk about this. I might make me cry, but I'll try not to. But there was a time when I felt like I couldn't even open the Bible on my own. And it was because of the loss of a child and then a surviving child having a very difficult diagnosis. And one of the things that you contributed to, and Elisa contributed to, and about 98 other women contributed to, is through your stories within this Bible of how God met you in very real circumstances, all different. You provided that friend inside the Bible. I mean, God is really the living, you know, breathing, active word, but sometimes we have such barriers to opening up this book because we're grieving. Or we're angry or whatever. But for me, it was just like, I am so sad. I cannot open up this book. And so that's one of the hopes of this idea of meeting a woman's story in the midst of that same scripture. Maybe it's a scripture about loss. You know, I remember the hymns about Job. I'd go to church and, you know, there was some worship song, you know, about basically, well, God, if you take it all away, okay. You know, and that was kind of like, I'm like, kind of like what it feels sometimes, you know. And but to have community around that and around God's word with other people, so powerful. So I'm really excited about what you do. I'm going to go check out It's All Grief to Me,
Good,
and
good.
also excited about what you've each contributed in different veins to this Bible community, which, you know, we hope will meet women of all circumstances and what their need is right now, and take them into God's word. So I think, oh my goodness, I could continue listening to you for a really long time. I could see why people want to, like, you know, why you're opening up the coaching, because I am sure there have been people who've been asking you for a long time, will you coach me? Will you help me get unstuck? We have to unfortunately close off this time pretty soon here. And one of the things we love to do is to leave people with kind of a hashtag. And Kwani, I happen to know you have thought of some. We also have in her many giftings, and she is extremely also very gifted like you are. Elisa is a hashtag creator, I'm pretty sure, better than AI. And so she may have thought of some too that we'd love to leave, but we want to hear yours. If you wanted people to walk away with one idea, what would that be?
Let's see. So, hashtag you are a gift or you are the gift. And then also hashtag make room. So, once you've identified, hey, I'm a gift or I have a gift that has been deposited inside of me, watch that gift make room. And then you also make room, right? Because sometimes we block our own gift from making room. So, you make room for that gift and then watch that gift make room for you. So those are my two hashtags, you are a gift and make room.
So full disclosure, Naomi's so kind when she talks to me about this, but I love when we have quotable people and there's so much goodness. But I also was like texting all my friends too, because as a woman of color, we often don't have like licensed therapists or safe places with trained individuals that really are able to create communities to navigate. Grief is so greedy, and to be able to walk through that in the long term. And so I'm like, you need to follow her. Like, she's got a website too, but check her out. So just know if you get a little influx there, I couldn't resist. But I will
Oh.
say, the hashtag that I circled a lot on mine, on my notes, say yes,
Oh,
say yes.
yeah.
I think that feels like a gift to me today. I think we tend to say our no and other people's no's for them. We don't want to inconvenience them. Like you said, we feel like we're too much. It's going to be this, it's going to be that. And we're like, no. And I'm like, oh, so it's underlined and circled, hashtag say yes.
I love it.
That is definitely a good one. And I love that that can be the prominent yes, as you brought up earlier, Lisa. It can be the one where we know the name and we know the website, and or it can be the one who's like, I'll be the friend who says yes, and people won't see me, but I'm saying yes to what God is inviting me to be part of. And those are both delightful. So I love that. Wow. Well, thank you for what you do. Just as someone, I mean, I'm sure, and all we have to do is live long enough to experience grief, right?
Yep. That's a
So
great
we're
point,
all going to be in, what's that, Elisa?
That's a great point. Like, that needs to be on a shirt somewhere. Just keep living long enough.
Yeah, so I'm very appreciative and thank you for what you do. And well, we do want to close with kind of a blessing for those who are joining us of reading God's word in Lectio Divina, or the divine reading or listening to God's word. And we're going to dive into Proverbs 18:16 that you shared with us and that epitomized your spark story. And we're going to have three readings of this in three different translations. And we just want to invite all of you who are joining us to just get quiet for a moment. You might be driving, you might have kids running around in the background, but just to take a breath in and know that God's living word has an opportunity and an invitation to speak to you. So, Kwani, would you begin?
Absolutely. Proverbs 18:16. Man's gift makes room for him and brings him before the great. And that's the ESV.
Proverbs 18:16 from the NIV: A gift opens the way and ushers the giver into the presence of the great.
In Proverbs 18:16, in the New Living Translation, giving a gift can open doors. It gives access to important people. So I'm going to close with a prayer. God, in your living word, your holy word, your word that enlivens our minds and our hearts and our grief and our joys and points us again and again to what is true and what is everlasting. From this passage, we just invite and say yes to what you want us to take from this. May you just impress upon our hearts and minds the things that have been spoken, both by Kwani and by Lisa, by me, but God also spoken through you and through your word and your Holy Spirit during this time. Thank you for the invitations. Thank you for the doors. Thank you for the gifts that every one of us, no matter who we think we are or are not, God, already have, because you are the one who gives us life. And it's in your name, Jesus. I pray. Amen.
Man.
Well, Dr. Quantrilla, Kwani, it has been wonderful to have you with us. And again, it's all grief to me. Is that .com or .org or?
Well, that doesn't have a website yet, but
okay.
All Grief to Me is both on Instagram. I think, what is it, X now, and Facebook. So if you search for it, you'll find it.
That is fabulous. Thank you so much for being with us and for sharing the story that God's been writing in your life. Elisa, thank you for bringing your perspective and also, hey, shouting out to a whole lot of people that they need to find this woman in this group. And you never know. We might all be there very soon, as I said.
All are welcome.
Long enough. And thank you all for joining us on Every Woman's Story with Stonecroft Podcast, where it is our joy to just express that everyone has an invitation to sit at Jesus' table and that we can indeed find our story as we look at God's story, the Bible. Thanks for joining us. Bye.